Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and if you miss television shows that you can watch as a family, you'll want to hear my guest today. I'll be talking with Brian Bird, executive producer of the Hallmark Channel series When Calls the Heart. Brian's worked in Hollywood for 30 years, including 5 years on Touched by an Angel. We'll be discussing his life, his career, and the way he integrates his faith into his storytelling. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Brian Bird. Now, if you don't immediately recognize Brian's name, you'll definitely know his work. He has been a writer and producer in Hollywood for 30 years, working on shows like Touched by an Angel and the sitcom Step by Step. A few years ago, he partnered with Michael Landon Jr. to found Believe Pictures, which produces faith-friendly movies and TV shows. Brian's latest project is season 2 of the Hallmark Channel series When Calls the Heart, which is based on the popular novel by Jeanette Oak. The show takes place in the year 1910 and tells the story of Elizabeth Thatcher, a young teacher accustomed to high society life who gets assigned to a frontier town called Coal Valley. She makes new friends there but also faces surprising challenges. Brian is joining me today to talk about the show and also to share his insights on the role that Christians can play in Hollywood to change our culture for the better. To tell us more, I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Brian Bird. Brian, thanks so much for calling into the show today.
Well, my pleasure, Tony. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you very much. And let me start with this, because I'm a fan of your show, too, When Calls the Heart. And let me start by saying this. When I was a kid and my parents and I would watch TV as a family, you know, they would choose shows that they weren't embarrassed to watch with me. And now that I'm older, it's flipped a little bit. If I watch TV with my parents, I try to find shows that I'm not embarrassed to watch with them. And one of those shows is When Calls the Heart. Is one of the appeals for you of creating this show and working on it, was it the fact that it does have such a broad appeal that families can watch it together regardless of age?
Yes, I mean, yes, it's a great question. I mean, you know, most of my career, Tony, I've been involved in shows that whole families can watch together, shows or films. And, you know, it's just kind of the nature of what my personal mission in the world is to sort of create uplifting, you know, faith and life-affirming kinds of programming. And so, you know, some of the other shows I've been on have been very similar to that. And I obviously grew up in a household where, you know, my whole family was watching television together. And in the last, I would say, you know, decade to 15 years, really since the end of Touched by an Angel, which was a show that I also was involved in for 5 of the 10 seasons it was on. You know, honestly, things have the paradigm has really shifted in terms of what's on television these days. And it's not safe viewing for families or for sons and aging parents. Right? It's just not. It's zombies and vampires and dead body shows and crystal meth dealers. And some of it is really well done programming. It's not a question of whether or not it's really well made. It's really about the marketplace forces are driving away sort of family programming. And we find that with When Calls the Heart, it's a throwback to, you know, the shows like Little House on the Prairie and the Waltons and some of these shows that we all enjoyed watching together with our whole family. And you know what? It's radical compared to what's on right now. It's a radical programming. We think it's revolutionary. Imagine a show a whole family could watch together. How revolutionary is that?
Very true.
You know?
Yeah, and I'm talking to Brian Bird. His show is When Calls the Heart. It airs Saturday nights at 8 on the Hallmark Channel. And one of the things I like about the show is that you also, you know, there's a romantic story between Elizabeth Thatcher and Constable Jack Thornton, but you've also got these other weighty things going on there. There's something big at stake, like all the coal miners. It's a coal mining town, and they were all killed, and it's up to the women to keep the town afloat and be, in effect, single mothers, which to me, you know, being a single mother is almost a modern issue. But this show kind of handles it in a throwback way. What is it like for you to handle these kinds of issues in a past era, but yet they're still relevant in today's world?
Right. Well, I think that's kind of the goal. As storytellers, we want to tell stories that are universally appealing to people. Yeah, you know, we don't all live in coal mining towns, and we don't all go through coal mine disasters or, you know, tornadoes, but some of us do, and all of us have, you know, life is just hard.
Yeah.
Right? We're all, you know, someone once said the mortality rate in America is 100%. We are all headed that way to disaster and tragedy, and, you know, it just is part of the nature of living on a broken planet. And so to me, you know, the goal is to tell universal storylines, but also to pluck, you know, I believe, you know, all human beings have these violin strings running through our souls, and these strings, you know, when you pluck them, they reverberate with certain themes, mm-hmm. like forgiveness and redemption and sacrifice and courage and banding together to help one another. You know, that's what human beings have been had to do, you know, and have been doing for, you know, for 4,000 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, we're not doing anything more than telling universal storylines, but we're just setting it in the early 1900s, you know, in a small town.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned Touched by an Angel before, and this show, Wind Calls the Heart, it's not as focused on God as that show is, but there is a faith dimension. You had the church burning down in season one, and there was a little ministerial rivalry. Is that faith dimension one of the show's appeals to you, that you do get to touch on that in some way?
Yeah, you know what? How can it not be? I mean, it's part of the cult. It's part of, you know, North America, you know, has and historically has been, and culturally has been a place of faith. You mm-hmm. know, many different kinds of faith, but a place of faith. And so, you know, the way we see it is that we're not proselytizing. We're not trying to evangelize people with the show. Mm-hmm. We just want to ask great questions, some of the great questions of humanity and existence and our place in the world, and also some of the great virtues of Western civilization, which the last time I checked, most of the world's great religions have them in common.
Yes.
Right? Some of these themes of forgiveness and you know, and the golden rule and doing right by your neighbor and asking forgiveness for things you've done wrong. Those are not Christian principles, just Christian principles. Mm-hmm. They are obviously Christian principles and Judeo-Christian ideas, but you can find them, you know, in most religions. So to me, it's, you know, the best. I am a Christian myself. Mm-hmm. Michael Landon Jr., my partner, is a Christian. We, you know, this is who we are as people. This is how we believe and work and walk in the world. However, I'm not here to bang people over the head with those ideas. What I want to do is I want to ask great questions, stir up cravings, mm-hmm. and ultimately get people talking to one another about the show.
Yeah.
Right? And if you have a life and a flesh and blood conversation with your neighbor about our show because of something, a question we asked, that's a way better way to have people, discover faith, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, just handing them a tract and, you know, being done with it. And that's what, you know, in my mind, sort of evangelistic films and television are. They're kind of tracks. They're visual tracks. And mm-hmm. I would much prefer that exchange of discovery happening between, you know, neighbors.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Brian Bird. He's a writer and executive producer of the show When Calls the Heart on the Hallmark Channel. And what you're talking about, really, your approach is biblical, because Jesus taught in parables, and sometimes the parables weren't easy to understand, but he was trying to get people thinking. So you're saying that is basically the job of Christian storytellers in our culture, too.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. We're telling parables, right?
Yeah.
And it's earthly situations which you know, sometimes will communicate heavenly truths, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, C.S. Lewis said all art is. It's all art is an attempt for us humans to copy heaven in some way.
Great insight, yeah. I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a minute to continue my conversation with Brian Bird, but first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Every once in a while, we come face-to-face with someone who has borne the weight of the world on their shoulders without losing hope or crumbling under the pressure. How are some people able to cope in circumstances that would debilitate the rest of us? The short answer is that their perseverance is grounded in faith. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Persevering Through Pain and Struggle. It shares stories and reflections that will help you endure challenging times by relying on the promise of God's love. To request your free copy of Persevering Through Pain and Struggle, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with writer and producer Brian Bird about his Hallmark Channel series, When Calls the Heart, and also about the lessons he's learned as a Christian who has built a successful career in Hollywood. Now, because of social media like Twitter, the people like you, the creative forces behind these TV shows, I imagine When Calls the Heart is probably the first kind of experience of its kind in your career, and that you really get to hear from the fans right away directly. How has that been for you, especially with the Hardys, the online community that loves the show?
It's so amazing, Tony. Working on Touched by an Angel, at the peak of the show, we were, you know, being watched by 20 million people every week. And So there were certainly a lot of fans of that show, and we get a lot of fan mail and emails in the early stages of the internet and so forth. But, it absolutely was an amazing, first season for us in terms of the fan experience. You know, we're on the Hallmark Channel. April 25th is the season 2 premiere, 8 p.m., 7 Central, on the Hallmark Channel. So we're on a relatively, you know, one of the smaller, networks in the cable sphere. However, you know, Hallmark is committed to these kinds of programs. Mm-hmm. And they're committed to the family space because, honestly, nobody else is.
Yeah.
You know, however... Mm-hmm. You know, there's a thousand channels out there doing original programming. So to get noticed in today's media, culture is tough. It's very tough. And if you don't have a huge marketing budget, you depend on social media and kind of grassroots assistance with doing this.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, we were so crazy busy trying to get the show, the first season, done last year. Now, you know, season 2 is in the books, and we're going to be airing those soon. But we didn't have any time to think about this. And about a third of the way through the initial first 12 episodes, this group of very vocal people, you know, fans began to pipe up on both Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and some of the other social media platforms. And they were basically communicating to us, where have you been? Where has this show been? We're starving for this kind of entertainment.
Right.
You know, and thanking us. And they named themselves the Hardys, right? Because there's a hashtag Hardy. And now Hallmark Channel is putting hashtag Hardys on the screen at various points during the broadcast to sort of continue stimulating that. But these are very much, this was not some sort of calculated marketing plan that we had. This caught us like a wave and like a complete surprise. And these Hardys are the most vocal, rabid, excited, hungry fans that I've ever experienced in my 30 years of doing this. And so when we saw them showing up and beginning to make this noise on the social media, we obviously had to feed it because, we wanted to encourage it and cooperate with them. And they've been the biggest blessing of this whole experience for me. If any of your listeners want to find the Hardy fan page, group page on Facebook, it's just called Fans of When of Hallmark's When Calls the Heart. There's 23,000 strong now.
Wow.
On Facebook, and they are not just people, you know, clicking like on Facebook and being done with it. They are actively vocal. It's a whole community, and people are they're creating friendships. They're having what they call Hardy parties across the country. I've crashed them a few times, maybe four or five times, in various places where I've been traveling. And you know, and I'm just a writer producer guy. I'm not one of the actors. Mm-hmm. And these Hardys will, you know, a lot of them are women, but there are some men in the crowd too. But they're just so starved for information and for a sense of belonging and community. It's kind of a church experience for them. And so I believe they were responsible for helping us get season two. Mm-hmm. I really do. They started the most sophisticated letter writing campaign I've ever seen in my experience. They started something called Operation Heartspring across America, and
wow.
They collected handmade hearts mm-hmm. from all over with messages on them, and the people would sign their name and the town that they're from, and they would put a message there, you know, thank you for this show I can watch with my whole family, please give us another season. You know, all of these messages of praise, but also, you know, very much pushing for more.
Yes.
And then they collected them and strung them together with ribbon.
Okay.
Somebody collected them all, and they strung them together with ribbon, and they sent them into the Hallmark Channel, 2,500 of them.
That must have been a treat for Hallmark.
You know, got just bombarded with these hearts, and so they actually hung them up in their offices here in Studio City, California, and took photos of them. And so there's this real synergistic thing happening now with the Hardys. They're showing up at other, you know, in other, watching other Hallmark shows. They're supporting, they're posting, and I'm doing my best as the executive producer of the show to feed them, give them information, give them spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
We even had several groups of them, get themselves up to Vancouver where we shoot the show. We put them into wardrobe and let them get in scenes of season two. And, you know, we can't do that for everybody, but, you know, on a limited basis, sort of we can do it every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was and now those folks have gone back and they're spreading something we call, we've coined the term evangelism.
That's clever. That's a good one.
they are doing things like loading the show on their iPhones, like an episode, and then when they're standing in line at the grocery store, playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, causing other, you know, shoppers to ask them what it is, and then they go on an elevator pitch about why they should be watching the show too. I mean, I've never experienced this, and I think it's just the nature of where we are in our culture. People are starving for something different
mm-hmm.
than what everybody else has given them.
Right, right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Brian Bird about his show, When Calls the Heart. It airs on the Hallmark Channel. Season 2 is starting April 25th, Saturday nights at 8 o'clock with reruns at other dates and times. You can check hallmarkchannel.com for those. Now, Brian, in addition to When Calls the Heart, you've also got a feature film in the works called Captive, which is based on the true story of Ashley Smith. Now, when I looked it up, I didn't remember her name, but I remembered her story. So tell us about Ashley.
Well, this has been a film that we've been trying to get made for probably 10, well, since the event happened in 2005. It's literally 10 years ago that it happened, March of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley Smith was a young widow. Her husband had been actually murdered 3 years earlier, and it sent her into a big tailspin of drug abuse, and she lost custody of her daughter, and she had to go into recovery and rehab, and she was just really struggling. She was trying to rebuild her life and get clean and get free, but then she got taken hostage by a man named Brian Nichols, who most people will probably remember all of the news about this, but he shot up a courthouse in Atlanta, shot a judge. He escaped, literally escaped custody. He was there for a hearing on his rape trial. He shot a judge, shot a court reporter, shot a deputy, and then took three guns and escaped into the wind. You know, he mm-hmm. escaped custody from the courthouse and was on the run for 24 hours, carjacking one car after another. Mm-hmm. That night, he took Ashley Smith hostage in her apartment to try to, you know, he was hiding, basically. But he had killed four people by that point. He had three guns. He had a police radio. So he was able to stay one step ahead of the manhunt that was out for him, and took this young woman hostage. And she had the presence of mind to try to engage him on a personal level, even though she was desperately struggling and she was still having trouble with crystal meth, the drug that she was addicted to. And mm-hmm. she read to him from Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And it was the catalyst that caused him to give up and not, because he was at that point very suicidal.
Yeah.
And he was going to, you know, go out in a blaze of glory. I mean, he was a cop killer by this point, and everybody knows what happens to those guys, mm-hmm. right? So he was, you know, essentially going to go out by way of, you know, suicide by cop.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up giving up because this young woman who was deeply flawed herself was called to call him into account and yeah. say, you know, you don't have to do this. And so it's a thriller. It's a true life thriller. In my mind, it's the, it took a killer to save Ashley Smith's life.
Wow. And vice versa.
Right.
It's one of those stories where, like, if you heard it, if you didn't know it was real, you'd say, oh, that could never happen if it was just in a movie. But it's, right. it's amazing the real life things that can happen in situations like that.
Right, and we got a great cast. If you saw Selma, mm-hmm. David Oyelowo, who plays Martin Luther King, and
yeah.
was a hair's breadth from an Academy Award nomination for that.
Yeah.
He was robbed, in mm-hmm. my opinion. But mm-hmm. He plays our killer, Brian Nichols, and he is a strong, committed Christian himself. Was a youth pastor at one point in his life, and just a fantastic man. And then Kate Mara plays Ashley Smith, and she's we'll see her next in August in Fantastic Four. She's the new Invisible Woman in Fantastic Four reboot. And that movie will come out nationally September 18th. It's called Captive.
Captive, okay. September 18th, I'm talking to Brian Bird. He's a writer and executive producer behind the Hallmark Channel series When Calls the Heart. Right now we're talking about his upcoming movie Captive, about the life of Ashley Smith. Now, with When Calls the Heart, you've got some freedom in that the characters are fictional. But when you're creating a story about someone who's alive in the here and now, do you approach that responsibility any differently as a writer?
You know, you do. I mean, you obviously want to be as authentic to the original story as you possibly can. You know, sometimes, I mean, if you're making a documentary, then you literally pay attention to every detail of the true story and you just report what happened.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making a narrative film, which ultimately has to be a piece of entertainment, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
And so you, and sometimes the process of trying to fit a storyline into a standard three-act structure of a movie, you know, isn't always convenient,
mm-hmm.
the reality of the story. And so you have to move things around sometimes. You have to sometimes play with the chronology of events. Sometimes you have to composite characters because you can't obviously put everybody in the story that you know that was involved in the real story.
Sure.
So you know, those kinds of things. And you, you know, as a narrative filmmaker, you know, my goal is to provide an entertaining experience, but also illuminate the power and the spirit of what really happened in the story. So sometimes you don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say we are, you know, 90% accurate
yeah.
on what happened on this story.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel very good about that. And Ashley, and the proof of the pudding is that Ashley Smith loves this movie. She is a huge spokesman now for the Celebrate Recovery movement, because she has been clean and sober since that night.
Wow.
That's why it took a killer to save her life, because she didn't believe she was ever going to be able to kick the crystal meth. And
yeah.
literally that night, she has been clean and sober since that day. And she leads her own Celebrate Recovery chapter in her church. So she loves the movie. She just thinks it totally nailed what really happened to her.
Good. Well, if it rates the thumbs up from the person it's about, then you know you've done your job right.
Yes, and Rick Warren loves the movie too, which I'm extremely proud of, because he's my pastor.
Oh, good.
If he had not liked it, it would have been a little bit of a disappointment to me.
I want to thank Brian Bird for joining me today to discuss his Hallmark Channel series, When Calls the Heart, and his movie Captive. We are out of time, but we're going to keep talking and bring you more of our conversation next time on Christopher Close Up. And Brian's going to talk about the cultural influence of TV and film that he's learned about in his 30 years in Hollywood. Now, before we end today's show, here's another message the Christophers would like to share with you.
No one is too far gone for God. Regardless of how many poor choices you've made, God is still willing to welcome you back with open arms if you sincerely ask for His forgiveness and try to change your ways. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called From Sinners to Saints. It profiles several people who chose to turn their lives around after experiencing God's love and grace. To request your free copy of From Sinners to Saints, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.